You know, the older I get, the more I realize that sometimes we just don't talk the same language. You know, all of us hate waiting. And yet, sometimes it's just a miscommunication that can cause us to wait. For example, I came home last week and my wife was very angry with me and she said, "You're hours late. You're over 3 hours late and I don't have enough time to wait around for you." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" She said, "I expected you here at 11:45. It's 3 o'clock. And I said, "Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. I said 11:45. Today we're going to talk about waiting, or to some degree talk about waiting, but talk about the kingdom of God and how to be in this moment that is expecting the kingdom of God and waiting for the kingdom of God. This last few weeks we've been talking about keys to the kingdom, and we've talked about love and we've talked about faith, and this week we're going to talk in some ways about repentance, in some ways about alertness and awakeness. There's so many different Christian ideas that get tied up into here, but I'm just gonna say it's sort of waiting well for the kingdom of God. Because one of the things that we have to confront as Christians is that we proclaim the rule of God, God's will to be done on earth, and yet we live in a world where it doesn't seem like that's happening. And so we have to own that faith and understand what it means to proclaim the rule of God in a world that doesn't look like God is ruling. And understand what that means and what that means when we proclaim it and how it changes us when we do. So Jesus speaks a lot about the kingdom of God. We've already talked about that for the last few weeks. This idea of the rule of God. For those of you that haven't been here, Jesus is basically saying that there will come this time when God's will be done on earth, and that Christians and those that follow him live into that. His first messages, his first sermons were quite simple. They had basically 2 points. One was to repent, to change your life, and to believe the good news that the kingdom of God had drawn near. That's to say that the kingdom of God, expect the kingdom of God and live your life accordingly. To repent means to change direction. So change direction in your life to live not based on all of the things that you had lived before, but on the expectation of the kingdom of God. But expecting the kingdom of God is not always easy. Particularly when you look at how Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he often says the kingdom of God is going to be unexpected. He compares it to a thief in the night. In the scripture that we read this week, for example, he compares it to a manager or an owner of a home who comes home unexpectedly. And he gives a couple of versions of this story where servants are there and they're either rewarded or not rewarded based on what they're doing when the master or the owner returns. And it's meant to get his audience to see the moment they are in as important, even if it looks like the owner isn't back yet. But it's hard to do that. It's hard to live in expectation. It's hard to expect the unexpected, as Jesus seems to want us to do. We might be able to hope for the unexpected. You know, hoping for the unexpected is something that we can kind of do. We can say like, you know, I'm not really sure that that's going to happen, but I hope it does. I'm not really sure that love is going to be victorious, but it would be great if it was. I'm not really sure that truth is going to win, but I'd be happy. It'd be great if it did. Hoping for the unexpected is what you might do if your favorite team is down a couple of touchdowns in the end of the fourth quarter. You go like, I don't expect that they're going to pull this one out. I'm pretty frustrated and I'm just kind of watching it, but it would be great if they did. I mean, who wouldn't a miracle want to see that? But when you're expecting the unexpected, that's quite different. That's like watching a game that you already know who won somehow. It's on DVR or something like that. And if it's in the fourth quarter and the team is down 2 touchdowns, instead of watching it going, that'd be nice if they win, you're watching it going, wow, I can't believe that they're going to pull this out. The trials and tribulations of that fourth quarter would make all the other fans irate as their hopes are being dashed, would make you just sort of wonder at how this is going to end up. So expecting the unexpected is more than just hoping for the unexpected. It's much deeper than that. And when you expect the unexpected, you begin to order your life based on that expectation. You begin to change your life based on that expectation. You begin to say, look, I am preparing for this. And because I know it's going to happen, then I'm going to change my life accordingly. Think of, if you have children, think of sort of a difference there. At some point during a pregnancy, it becomes or begins to feel very real. And you're no longer feeling like this is coming sometime in the future, but this baby is coming soon, and you begin to realize we need to prepare things. That's when you're expecting this. You're changing stuff. You're getting nurseries ready. You're doing all of these things, and your life is no longer what it was before. That's the power of expectation when you begin to really change your life. Now, if you buy a house and you might go, this might be great for a nursery, but you're not planning on having kids or anything like that, you might hope that, but until then, it's a great media room. Because you're just hoping. You're not expecting. And when you're just hoping, it might make sense to not live on that expectation. You kind of say, once I see a little bit more proof, I'll begin to live on that expectation, but until then, I can't. And what that doesn't do, however, is any transformation. Everything that we have been talking about, the kingdom of God, grace and love and all of these things in faith, these are all things that transform us. They're evidence of the kingdom of God, evidence that our expectation is not without reason, that our expectation of what happens in our heart can happen in the world. And so when we begin to feel that new birth and that grace and that repentance and that forgiveness, when we begin to own that future that is becoming infused in our hearts, then we begin to change because of the power of what has changed within us already. That hope starts to become an expectation. And that expectation is what Jesus is calling his followers to. And part of the scripture, he gives an example. He says there is a manager of a household, and the owner gives him a task to feed the different servants. And a good manager, he says, will do that. He will feed those servants. A bad manager, however, will say, you know, this owner's taking a long time. You know, maybe he's not going to come back. And he's going to start doing, he says, getting drunk and beating on the servants, basically just doing whatever he wants. And Jesus is pretty clear that when the master returns, this person is not going to be in good with the master. And in fact, he says that because he knew and he was given these things, more will be expected from him. And Jesus talks about the more that you are given, the more you are expected. Or the more is expected from you, I should say. And that those that aren't given, then much less is expected of them. And that's to say that if you are given faith, if you are given the opportunity to live into God's future and you are freed from your past, then you have a responsibility to be part of that future that God has freed you to live into. And that's why, as much as this is about God's future and us living into that, it is very much about now, this moment that you are living in. Is this the last step of your life, or the latest step of your life? Steps that you have taken, and all of the things that have caused you, the stresses and the anxieties and the pains and all of that stuff that has brought you to this point, or is this the first step into God's future? And that's the kind of decisions that Christians need to make about every moment that we live. Are we living in expectation of God, or are we living out of the vague hope of God? Are we freed from sin? Are we freed from our past? Or are we simply kind of living there still? You see, we have been given this incredible gift. We have been entrusted with this incredible thing, this expectation of the kingdom, of the victory of love. We have been given this life and the opportunity to participate with God in creating this new kingdom of God, to be part of this new kingdom of God. He is reaching down and saying, I want you to be part of what I am doing. And if we believe that God is reaching down and saying, I want you to be part, then we have to say yes. We have to say, yes, I am going to live my life towards you. And no, it's not easy. So many of us sort of want to put all of God's stuff on pause and say, let me just deal with this until something else happens. Let me say that now is not the moment. This is not the time. It will be later. The master is coming back later. I can't concentrate on that now. I will give to the church and the poor and everything when I can later. I will serve you and do what you need for the help to help people later. I will do these things later, but right now I just can't do those things. And God is saying, now is the moment. You are free now to choose to live into God's kingdom. What will you choose?